Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
There is a faction of fans out there in this town that are not fans of the Yankees, and maybe they took some satisfaction in the weekend's drubbing. You know what I mean? So maybe it wasn't all loss for everybody. Just one, I'm just giving you one side of things where it was bad for the Jets. Obviously, we went over that a little bit before. I know you did your unhinged, unkillable podcast afterward.
Dude, it's deteriorating. Each week, I'm getting more and more uncensored. I got to watch it. I'm getting raw. I can't take it. I mean, listen, I know what you're saying about the Met fan, but I got to tell you one thing really fast about, and it's really crazy because the entire genesis of Unkillable contradicts what I'm about to say. And I don't know that I've got the capacity to care anymore about these Jets. I really don't. Like, I watch these games, and I'm not just saying that. I really no longer care. I sit there. I'm bored. I watch them. Like, the frustration.
Dreadful football.
It's out. Like, the frustration has waned. The anger is dissipated. It's just now like punching a clock, like, all right, I have to do this. I really don't care. Like, I just don't care.
Well, honestly, that's how I felt going into the game yesterday. We talked about after they lost to Miami, like, for me, I'm done with, like, caring about the actual Jets. Now, I said I was not going to evaluate Aaron Glenn on results, and I stand by that. But I can't, like, there's nothing appealing to me about watching the game. I had it on yesterday. It was torture. Couldn't wait to get it off. And eventually I did, moved on to watching both the Giants and then the Broncos-Eagles game. Like, there were other games.
Yeah, you called that Broncos game.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You've been like, you like Denver.
I mean,
Denver.
They had to come back. But yeah, Denver's
a good win.
And now the Jets are going to be playing them in London next week. Anyway, I still am a believer in Aaron Glenn. I know this is a deeper conversation that maybe we don't need to get into. But, dude, it's just like every year. And even the Giants with their loss took the game results out. When you start taking the game results out, fans don't want to sit here and evaluate things. We don't want to evaluate Aaron Glenn without any hope of having wins week in, week out. We don't want to evaluate Dable in year four and Jackson Dart and just without any hope of it going somewhere. Like, the idea is to evaluate, sure, but also have a chance to win some of these games. So Giants more so than the Jets have a chance to do that. But that's where we're at again. Through 5 weeks, that's it. Like, the seasons are definitively done. There's no way.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over.
As far as the results go.
Yeah, it's absolutely over. So, I thought Aaron, and I remember saying this to you, I thought Aaron made a big mistake when he, I know why he probably did it, but I warned him then. I'm like, be careful, you know, trying to denounce the same old Jet stuff. I got news for you, AG. You look worse. Rich Kotite's team was better, and you were on it. So, you should know that. So that has fallen on deaf, hollow ears, number one. And then the other thing, too, you know, he said, and this is like, this is actually scary. This makes me wonder if Aaron Glenn's the guy. Big picture. He told us on whatever, Thursday or midweek, whatever, I guess it was Thursday or Friday. He said, we had an amazing week of practice. This is the best week of practice we've had so far. Mm. I mean, do you not even have a pulse on your team? Because if you're telling us that that was your best week of practice, then what you're really telling us without saying it is, you don't know what the heck you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because they still can't get any sacks. They still can't force any turnovers. They had 8 or 9, 10 penalties here. Like, I'm not even going to get worked up over it. The Jets are a non-entity in my mind. I really just don't care anymore about the Jets. I don't. I know at some point when they get good, I'll get sucked back in, and you will get, you know, hopefully intelligent and passionate takes from me about the Jets when it's time. But today, I'm done.
BT, I don't really have much to add on the Jets. Other than I would just say that I feel like a losing culture is very, very difficult to get away from, especially when you keep a lot of the losing players who have been a part of that culture too long. When one thing goes wrong, it's like,
here we go again.
Yeah, we're losers. We're not going to win the game.
Yeah.
Even Garrett Wilson, who's the best player of the bunch, is just like, I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. You know, Sauce Gardner's a total bust. All these other guys who have been there.
Quinn Williams has been there.
They're good. They have talent.
Yep.
They have become accustomed to the Jets being synonymous with embarrassment, failure, and losing. And for Aaron Glenn, that is an upheaval of epic proportions that I'm sure he is like, holy crap, like I just don't get it. Like I'm trying to coach these guys the right way, and some of them are probably playing too tight, meaning like they think they have to be perfect and they don't want to make a penalty, which if you start thinking like that, guess what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a penalty. Or if you start worrying about fumbling the football because you know what's going to happen, your head coach is going to get you out of here, you fumble the football. Like, it is just such an impossibly difficult losing culture. To me, I would be cleaning house with the players and just ripping it down to the studs and trying to build it back up.
Trade people. You got time. Trade some people.
As painful as it may seem, as far as the talent goes, that's what they really need to do if they really want to fumigate everything. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Back to the Giants and Yankees calls. Pete is calling from Sussex. What's up, Pete?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you doing? Hey. I think I needed a blood pressure medication after that one guy. But anyway, a quick question. I just want an opinion for you guys, and then I'll let you guys talk. So in the offseason, we got Wilson and Winston. You guys think we were better off keeping Daniel Jones, drafting Dart, and keeping Tommy DeVito and putting more money into the offensive line and possibly getting a high-end receiver?
No, I don't. I understand why you're saying that. And maybe, Pete, and thank you for the call. Good question. Like, maybe, first of all, the cost of Daniel Jones, it just wasn't going to work here. You had to move on from Daniel Jones. But maybe the most damning argument against Brian Daboll is that he couldn't, outside of the first year, which was very limited as far as what they let Daniel Jones do, he could not maximize Daniel Jones the way that Shane Steichen has been able to do in 5 weeks in Indianapolis.
Yep.
To the level of where if you say Daniel Jones for MVP, like that's actually legitimate. I'm not saying he's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it's a part of a legit conversation, which I can't believe that that's the case.
He's got a great runner. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's terrific. Taylor did a lot of the work yesterday. I mean, Daniel Jones, I'm happy for him. I mean, Daniel Jones... Now, I don't know what this means to Giant fans today here, but you know, Daniel Jones played hard. There's just a lot of things about what Glenn's got to overcome, a lot of things that the Giants had to overcome. And I don't know, even though the Jets' O-line was not good yesterday, they at least have good players. And Thomas is back healthy for the Giants, which is a good thing. But think about all the offensive lines that Daniel Jones had to work with. Like,
how about not to mention the coaches?
He was never going to succeed here. Never. You had to turn the page.
That's the point. So you had to turn the page, but it does show you that even with Mara going with Shane and Daboll and saying, okay, well, now we believe that these are the right guys to build around Daniel Jones, it was probably too little too late. Even though they had success the first year, damage was done to the point where once something went sideways for a week or two, all of us, fans, media, oh, Daniel Jones doesn't have it. Like, myself included, I'm just saying, like, it became so fragile that once something went sideways, much like with the Jets right now, once the sign of, it's a brand new head coach, first year head coach, changing everything, new GM, new head coach, first year. And once there was any sign of, oh my God, they just got their ass kicked, how do they lose to this team? He should be fired. Like, that's the talk in week two. I know we're now in week five, but in week two, it was Glenn might not be the right guy. Those are very difficult parameters to work within, and that's what Daniel Jones is working with. Even after a new head coach and GM were hired.
It's suffocating.
Yeah.
When it's the same regurgitation of the same, you know, let me pound on this and let me pound on that. It's predictable. It gets old. I think it stifles the enthusiasm for locker room. And think about this. Now, when they settled on Aaron Glenn, I was happy. But I know you know who my first choice was. That was Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And what was the one truly, I know yesterday was up there as well, truly non-competitive game that the Jets played this year? It was against the Buffalo Bills, who absolutely whacked them, right? How did the Pats look last night with Drake May and Mike Vrabel?
Right, but that's why this was lost before that decision. Vrabel was never coming here because probably the structure and ownership, also because they didn't have the quarterback in place the way that New England, like, that wasn't a fair fight. Vrabel would want the New England job. He played there. The ownership, the structure and foundation that was in place, even after Belichick left it kind of in ruins, it was still better than the Jets. Dude, like, I don't think that we understand the difficulty. And now the Giants have entered that category.
Oh, long ago. Yeah, they didn't just step into the chat room. They've been here.
Correct. The difficulty in building these teams out of the abyss with all of us, every chance we get, pouncing on them immediately. It's why I'm trying to call off the dogs here. Now, I know I'm not, like, people aren't just going to follow everything I'm saying. And by the way, what I'm saying might not be right. Like, maybe Glenn is an awful head coach. Maybe Dable should be fired. All I'm saying is that this environment, and it's not the media or fans' fault, the teams have created it themselves, but the environment, if they listen to the noise, it's impossible to succeed in. If the Jets hired, just for one example, they hired Aaron Glenn because they believe he's the right guy, and I believe he's got a lot of the correct attributes, they have to be able to plow through this storm of he's overmatched, he stinks, he can't get it. And I don't even know if Glenn himself, like Woody, can sit back and say, hey, he's the right guy. You don't think Aaron Glenn's hearing the noise? Of course he's hearing the noise.
He is.
He's responding to it, which to me was the first time he started to lose me. Talking about, like, we're not the same old Jets, or clapping after a loss, a horrific loss, but because your team came back. Like, those are signs to me that you're letting all the outside noise get to you, and you have no chance when that's the case.
This is how dumb the Jets are, okay? I just want everybody to understand the most basic checkpoint that they willingly ignored yesterday. What was the temperature yesterday? I don't know, 85,
beautiful,
86,
yeah.
88. It was hot as hell. It was hot. I was actually at my daughter's game, but I was getting sunburned on top. It was hot. Like, I was sweating. Now, I also sweat maybe a little bit more than others, but it was hot as hell. The Jets decided to wear black uniforms. This is how stupid the New York Jets are. Yeah. So let's, and it's not like the weather crept up out of nowhere. There's this thing called the 10-day advance forecast. There's actually apps for radars. You know what the weather's going to look like, okay? And the Jets said, yeah, let's put our guys on turf where the sun reflects off, okay, and adds another 8 to 10 to 12 heat in terms of temperature degrees. Let's willingly wear black uniforms and allow the Cowboys to wear white when it's almost 90. That is the idiocy of the Jets. They're idiots.
Neil is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Neil?
What's up, gentlemen? Good morning. I just got two things on the Yankees. As far as our Yankee lore goes, because you know how the great Yankees are all about championships, how would it go for Aaron Judge if he was to finish, you know, his career without a championship? What would he be ranked in Yankee lore? And two, you think they should sit down Stanton and let Dominguez DH? Because at least with Dominguez, if he hits the ground ball, there's a chance of him he could beat it out, and that would buy the Yankees an extra out for that inning.
I was okay with, I'll hit the Stanton thing first. Thank you for the call. Two good questions. So, and then obviously you and I think we could more debate the Judge stuff because that's maybe a longer conversation. So the Stanton thing, I did not want to play him in game two. Remember we had that discussion, talk about the lineup. Against the Red Sox. He just looked awful. I think he was like 1-for-18 or 1-for-17, a bunch of whiffs. Now that he's starting to swing the bat a little bit better, and I know he had a big strikeout the inning that Judge did on Saturday as well. I understand that. But he squared up a few sins. I don't know that now is the time to do it, although I get your point about more juice with Dominguez, more athleticism. They're not sitting Stanton at this point. That's not going to happen. Why don't you tackle the Judge stuff if he goes ringless, and then we could flush through it.
I think it's a major problem. I think Judge now, for the first time, if he doesn't, because the expectations, well, first of all, every year the expectations are that Judge is going to dominate in the postseason, and every year it has not been the case. Coming off of the embarrassment of the World Series a year ago, and all the Judge said, he lost nights of sleep with that and trying to respond and bounce back this year to get back to the postseason where we felt at the very least a favorable slate for the Yankees. Yeah, more difficult beating a dangerous Red Sox team in the best of three. Sure, not winning the division, obviously having to play that extra round. But look at the landscape of the whole league. Forget about just the National League, just the American League, the entire league. Yankees had as good a chance as anybody. And I felt that this was going to maybe be the year where Judge finally turned it on. And while he's gotten a bunch of base hits, it has not been the case. And in the big spots, he's striking out, and he could be pitched to, not to mention the error. I think this is not only like a not great postseason, but this has so far been a bad postseason for Judge. If he doesn't have a good showing here and the Yankees get bounced by the Blue Jays, I think the conversation is going to start to turn in a negative way, as opposed to always missing a ring. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Judge has been a major disappointment in the playoffs.
Well, that's why the average is very misleading here.
Yeah, I mean, what, 450 or something like that?
I mean, let's say he goes, 2-for-3 tomorrow night with a walk and the Yankees lose 8-5, but didn't do any real damage. You know, those who didn't see this in real time, or even those who did, they might soften in years. Like, oh, wow, yeah, Judge did hit, 473 in the 2025 postseason. He's done nothing. He's inflicted no damage, zero. And even some of his hits have been, flailers and, end of the bat stuff. A couple of should have been caught by Duran. So, see, it's hard. Only because baseball is a different measurement, or at least it should be, because it's such a team sport. I ask you, Sal, who's the greatest Nick of all time? Who is it? In your opinion, who's the greatest Nick of all time?
Probably Walt Clyde Frazier. I didn't see him play.
Neither did I. Okay. So a lot of people do say Patrick based on the records.
Yeah, I would say Patrick myself. He's the best I've ever seen, but
me too.
Hard to argue against Clyde.
Clyde's got the championships. He's got two of them there. So, and Patrick gets beat up still in the court because of public opinion because he didn't get the championship.
Who would you say real quick, Clyde, or you say Ewing?
I'd still probably say Patrick because of based on, going against Jordan, going against Hakeem, just what was there, Shaq.
It's really hard to give an answer to that, but to your point, my answer was in part based because of the championship set.
That's why I asked you that. It's a tough question. Who's one of the greatest Rangers of all time? It's Lundqvist, right? He's got none.
Right.
I mean, Shesterkin's pretty damn good. He's got none. The bottom line assessment, championship or not, defining legacy, and I'm not trying to take a pass on the answer. I'm really just thinking about it, is very complicated and very convoluted. I do know, and you've said this as well, Aaron Judge is one of the greatest baseball players I have ever seen in my life. He's there with Griffey, who doesn't have a ring. He's there with Alex, and Alex will join us at one, even though Alex had the issues with the PEDs. But, Alex is there and a few others, right? I would say if he gets back to the stage a few more times and then doesn't deliver, then I think it's impossible not to penalize him. But if the Yankees as a team don't get very far in the next couple of years because the team's not that good or of championship good, then I think it's probably less of a burden on him. So still TBD, but it's not the best look. Yeah, it is what it is.
And Yankee fans should look at the bright side. No matter what happens the rest of this series, there will be a Yankee legend without a ring that will be moving on.
A Yankee legend without a ring that will be moving on.
No matter what happens.
I know this is the tongue-in-cheek. This is a little jab.
Well,
let me just see that moving on.
Judge or Donnie.
you did that the other day, and I still didn't pick up on it. I got to know the material by now.
I thought this one you would get for
sure. I know. But the difference with Donnie, there was sympathy for Donnie because of the back and the haircut, and George was at his crazy, crazy worst, and the roster stunk. Judge doesn't have the excuses that Don Mattingly had.
100% does not. Donna is calling from North Babylon. What's up, Donna?
Hi, guys. If you wanted to see good baseball this weekend, you should have watched the Mariners. What a game. I am so sick of these New York teams. Watching those Yankees was like watching the Big Fab Four lose. It's so hot. Disheartening to see what we are subjected to.
It's not over yet. I mean, so let's not have the eulogy full bore today. I mean, the tombstone's not in the ground yet.
Right.
They got to lose
the
one
Mets
more.
The Mets are over.
No, whoa.
The Mets are over.
Well, the Mets tombstone has been written for the year, yes. Now, what about, Don? I'm curious to get your take on the Jets and Giants.
Oh, my God. Putrid. I saw the Jet was, what was it, 3-22, flipped over, saw the Giant. I'm so sick of these New York teams. I feel bad for you guys. You are New York announcers and sports guys that have to, report this in your gut. What are you really saying?
I just told you, I think the Jets are idiots. That's about as blunt as it gets.
Thanks for the call, Donna.
Thank you. We get paid for this. Trust me, don't feel sorry for us. I mean, we're not digging ditches here. We're talking about sports. As frustrating as it gets. But, it's different emotions for each one. Because with the Giants, there was hope with Dart. Yesterday was just a kick to the groin. The Jets, I've tapped out. Uncle, get me out of the octagon. I give up. The Yankees, I'm incredibly frustrated, but it's not over yet. the Met fan has a different set of emotions. Mm. It's a little bit of everything, quite frankly.
And we get the Knicks coming up soon, so we look forward to that. Hey. I know the Rangers start tomorrow night.
Abu Dhabi went well. They won twice.
Yeah, all right. I know. Mike Brown and all those minutes and changing from today. At least they're going to be relevant in the regular season.
Yes.
We'll see if they can. We're looking to the Knicks to carry us as a sports. Hey, the Yankees series is far from over. We've been down this road before. Just last week. Oh, no, the Red Sox up one game tonight. Like, let's just see what happens. What's the old saying with the series? A series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. That's how I feel here. I think it's going to look now, I could be wrong. I think it's going to look and feel totally different in the Bronx for these next two games. I'm not saying game five.
Mm.
I'm saying these next two games here, I think the Yankees' bats will come to life and they'll put some fight together.
They better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We were just talking about this during the break, BT, where Bieber is going to go for the Blue Jays in game three. That's a one guy. Like, I got to give Schneider credit. I didn't think the Blue Jays were legit. I wasn't worried about them coming into the series. I've been proven wrong so far already in the two games. They've managed it well to have you Savage pitch in Toronto and get that crowd behind him. It's a different animal. You have him pitch in Yankee Stadium, no doubt about it. And then having the veteran Bieber lined up to pitch game three in the Bronx.
Well, these are the advantages that you have when you actually win the division. You get to dictate some things. And, you know, that's been an asset. But, you know, Toronto just, I mean, I don't know that anybody fears the Yankees anymore. I think those days are fairly over, long gone. But Toronto, it doesn't even seem like Toronto respects them. They are very comfortable against the Yankees.
They're playing downhill. They're playing loose. They're having fun. They get just a bunch of gamers up and down that lineup. I am shocked, though, to this extent. And I will be even more shocked if the Yankees don't get off the mat here tomorrow night. And, like, the bats got to get going. That's where the Yankees become bullies, when they start to mash. Mm-hmm. Without that, then they're in trouble. You play behind the eight ball, you're down 4-0 and 5-0 before you can blank. It's like, uh-oh, well, what are we going to do now? So I didn't think that Toronto – I knew Toronto had a better offense than the Red Sox. I did not think that their pitching was – like, Gausman, dude, he mowed the Yankees down. And then the bullpen as well. And you Savage had never even heard of before he goes in there. This guy looks like – he looked better than Schlittler did the other night. So, I mean, it's remarkable, the pitching that they've had so far. Bieber, obviously, we're familiar with. But even at this point in his career, is he still what he once was? No. I think the Yankees bats, they have to carry them at least a game, and clearly they need to carry them to game five.
All right, let me ask you this. Yeah. So what if they don't? All right, so one of the things, and not everybody said this, but I certainly felt it, like it would have been absolutely, utterly unacceptable for the Yankees to lose to the Red Sox there.
Right.
Unacceptable. If they lose tomorrow night and they just go down with a whimper, how is that even different?
I think it might actually be worse, because now you got to, you had hope, a team that has punked you. Like, what is going on here?
A longer series to establish yourself, less randomness.
Right. Like, if they lost to the Red Sox, a part of that could have been like, hey, that's the crapshoot of a wild card round. You're getting punked by the team that owned you all year in the regular season. If they lose tomorrow, man,
there's going to be some tough discussions, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's very different from losing to the Red Sox. You know, maybe worse, because there's more time, as I said, to establish yourself, whatever. And the Yankees' pitching matchups have been so in their advantage, at least. You know, I mean, Gausman's good. He's actually handled the Yankees fairly well. And, you know, Heel is not the same post-injury. He just doesn't have great command. But, you know, pitching advantage yesterday, pitching advantage tomorrow, pitching advantage game four if there is one. And even on paper, you would say pitching advantage game five up in Toronto with Fried, but he's been spooked up there and they've rocked him. So I don't know.
I feel like if they got swept, it's like more like Sidney Sweeney maybe standing you up as opposed to going on a few.
You saw that. Yes, interesting pop culture reference there for Mike, right? I saw that. Yeah.
Ooh, BT and Sal, the fan. Let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019, the number to call. John is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I know I called about the Giants, but I'd love to get a comment in about the Yankees, too. I think, you know, I think yesterday with the Giants, it was a lot of the rookies' fault. I really like what the offense was doing in the beginning and actually moving the ball. It's actually a pleasant sight to see. But in my opinion, Shane Bowen is not the guy. I really hope that with the new talent that we have on the defensive line, that it is going to attract some better defensive coordinators to actually run some, you know, more consistent schemes against teams that are really not good. I mean, I felt like the defensive line really just was invisible yesterday. And as for the Yankees, I mean, I've never been more frustrated watching this team than I am now. And I think looking back on it, toward the end of the season, it was all smoke and mirrors. We were playing crappy teams, the bottom of the barrel. Yeah, it built our confidence up, and we made this great run to, you know, tie the division and, you know, the tiebreaker and all this and that. But, this team is just not it, man. Like, you know, the bottom of the order has been abysmal. Volpe's been, you know, a little bit better.
I
can't stand Jazz Chisholm's at bat. I can't stand looking at Wells. The freaking breaking ball, these sliders, you knew it was coming. I'm yelling at the TV, here comes the breaking ball in the dirt. Swing the bat.
But what about Judge?
Three, sit him down.
You mentioned a bottom of the order. Okay, well, I'm just saying.
Judge is just checking boxes at this point. He's hitting singles, and he's not doing the damage that he needs to.
I think
we're relying
on Grisham
him to be the guy.
Grisham.
And I mean, Grisham has been,
terrible.
I mean, it's been up and down. It is. And you look at this order, you know, you look at how, you know, the Red Sox and Toronto is structured. Yeah. They have guys that are actually batting above 250 and are actually getting the ball in play. And you can kind of see the strategy that the Yankees were taking early on with these pitchers where, hey, fastball comes, you got to take it early on. And unfortunately, you know, we just weren't getting the ball in play. But the minute you foul off that foul ball, you're screwed. Like, we're done. And that breaking ball comes and you're cooked.
But that's how they're built, John. And good stuff. Thank you for the call. That's the problem with the Yankees far too often. They are a bully offense that mash you to death in the regular season. And then when they face good pitching, they look like they've looked in the postseason so far. And it's like Grisham, nobody expects Grisham to be that good, but everybody was taking bows. Hey, Grisham, 30-plus home runs. What an incredible year he's had. Well, if you're hitting .150 in the postseason, not having your impact felt in front of Aaron Judge, then that's not any good. And even the guys behind him, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm, it's all the same thing. The Yankees offense. Like, if I asked you, BT, going into the postseason, what the biggest concern would be with the Yankees, your answer would be what?
Oh, God, the biggest concern with probably bullpen.
Right. Me too. Right. Has the bullpen been the primary culprit of why the Yankees have found themselves now in an 0-2 hole? To me, it is not like it's Max Fried, it's the starting pitching, and it's the offense. That's supposed to be their bread and butter. Max Fried's their $218 million ace. He put him in a hole yesterday. You can't do that. Unacceptable performance. And the offense is the Yankees' bread and butter. That's their strength. Like, their bullpen, even with Bednar and Williams, their bullpen's a weakness. That has not been the major culprit here. Obviously, it let the game get out of control, but that's not the reason why they've lost to me in this postseason.
I think it's been a little bit of everything, which is what really worries me. You know, you mentioned Grisham sitting .158 with Stanton sitting .150, Jazz hitting .188. And the bullpen has not, like, been this colossal nightly implosion here, but game one against the Red Sox, it was with Luke Weaver. I mean, I don't know how you try. Luke Weaver's been horrendous, you know. It's just
right, but they
it's really a little
hit.
Bit of everything, quite frankly. It really is.
Well, it's not. It's not the defense. It's not on the base paths. Not
it was
beating
defense yesterday with Judge playing that into a triple.
Yeah, I know, but still, but the
keep
game,
the ball in front of you.
All understood. The game to me was out of control at that point.
What about the play down the line? And with I think Varsho hit that bullet to the right out of the reach of Ben Rice.
Yeah, you
think
he's a little slow getting it? I mean,
you think Goldschmidt knocks it down? You think an elite first baseman knocks it down? I don't know. I mean, it was hit hard. I want to be fair. Maybe if you were positioned better, so maybe that's a coaching thing because you didn't have a lot of time to react. But yeah, championship teams keep that ball in the infield.
I'm just saying it's not to me like, yes, obviously Judge with the error was a bad one. But it's not like I'm watching this team saying, well, they can't field the grounders. They're not throwing them, you know, they're throwing balls in the dirt. They're not, you know, the pass balls, catcher's interference, those sloppy things, dropping easy fly balls. That is not the main culprit here. Max Fried, your $218 million ace getting hit is a big problem. Aaron Judge, everybody else really in the lineup, almost to a man, they have not hit the way that they did in the regular season. Those are the biggest issues, whereas my main concern coming in was the sloppiness that they've played for years and the bullpen. And those two things, to me, haven't been the main culprit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when the Yankees bottomed out during the regular season, no, they don't look like that now. Where Volpe couldn't make a throw and they hadn't secured third base yet with McMahon, they were a disaster defensively. So, no, you're right. I mean, the defense is probably the least of the issues right now. Fried got bamboozled again. You know, and listen, even though Judge is hitting a soft four, whatever, if the guys behind them did their job, we wouldn't focus on it as much.
Ben Rice does not look good.
No.
I got to be fair. I thought he was great. You know, I still believe he's their second best offensive player.
I still love him. He has not been that good.
He's been bad. I mean, that's what happens.
Stan's been worse.
And the difference with Stan is you expect him to be better because he's been proven before in the postseason. He's a veteran. And if he's not hitting, then what is he doing for
him? He's doing nothing.
And the one time he does hit a double, he's pimping it like it's a home run. Let's get a Jets call in here, BT. Mike is in Old Bridge. What's up, Mike?
Guys, thanks for taking my call. I just want to rant on the New York Jets, who are an absolute disgrace. If you could please just give me a moment.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. So now, Brandon, awesome podcast, Unkillable. All right, and that was pretty wild just watching that game yesterday. One of the things that I realized with the Jets is that if we gave Aaron Glenn, let's say, two or three victories this season, let's just say.
Okay.
So if we get three victories, we'd be looking at a 3-14 season. Now next season, if they draft a rookie quarterback, which for all intents and purposes, they're going to have to do that. Fields holds the ball too long, regardless of his athleticism. So now next year, what would be the barometer? Realistically, you'd be back to square one, what you guys were saying earlier this season when Sal said maybe like that. So now you'd add three wins this year, another five wins maybe next year, and you can imagine what that record would look
like. Yep.
That would be a really losing record. Now, I understand people are going to reference Jimmy Johnson and some of these great coaches that started
off Parcells with the Giants early.
And that's fair.
Yep.
And that's a fair point.
Okay.
But here's the thing. The game greatly that a couple of years ago, the Commanders had the second overall pick, okay? And they took Jaden Daniels, and basically the next season they were in the NFC Championship game. The modern NFL game, okay? The Jets need to think modern football. So they basically continue to hire these first-year, these first-time head coaches.
That's why they're idiots.
So Salah had the team playing slightly better than we've seen with Aaron Glenn. But here's the issue with Glenn that really, really worries me. He came in, and I really believed everything he was saying. And I'm going to still give him the benefit of the doubt because I really believe he's a quality human being, and he's a great leader of
men.
Just like Sal had mentioned.
But
So I just want to say this last thing. But here's the deal. He's starting to look like all the other coaches at the podium, deflated, defeated. Even he's out of answers. Yesterday, that tough demeanor after the game and the post game, that was not there. That tough guy stuff, it's yep. almost gone.
Yep.
And in my personal opinion, the Jets need one thing. They need a franchise quarterback. But besides having a franchise quarterback, they need to really look closely at every single person in this organization. Because if this team does not win a game this year, or they win one game and they actually get that first pick mm-hmm. over the Titans or over the Saints or over the Browns, do you really think, as a longtime fan like you are, just like I am,
yep.
do you really think, and all these other Jets fans think, do you want Muji and Glenn making that pick? Because if you make that pick and he becomes a Zach Wilson-type quarterback, you would truly, you think 15 straight years without the playoffs is bad? This would set the franchise back many years. And one other point I want to make.
We got to let you go, Mike, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the passion here.
Yeah, but that is a good call.
Yeah, I mean, we'll let you go on for 5 minutes
there. That was a long one.
Had to cut it off at some point. Go ahead. You want to take that?
I was just going to say, Mike, I do see a path here or lane where 15 years could become 25 years. What if the Jets aren't in the playoffs? Like, I know it sounds inconceivable. Now, like, maybe the one advantage here is, like, even if the Jets finish second overall and say the Titans are first, they just drafted Cam Ward, so you wouldn't think that the Titans would pick a quarterback, but they would be open for business, so maybe the Browns or somebody else jumps in front of them. Dude, I don't know what to think anymore, except, honestly, that the Jets are idiots. That's where I'm at. They're just losers top to bottom.
The thought about drafting a quarterback first overall and bringing him into this is frightening. That's not the recipe. And I think the biggest thing that our last caller said was that Glenn, and I agree with this, has not looked the way that he did prior to week one, after week one. Since then, it's been chipped away
yep.
to where he's almost...
He's a different person. It's a different presentation in 1 month.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The vicious Jets cycle has eaten people up and chewed them up, spit them out. All the time. Quarterbacks, head coach, all the time. Like, how many times do we need to see the same bleeping thing before we realize that it's an infrastructure problem and maybe that the media fans, like, doesn't help? I'm not saying that fans need to change the way that they are because they don't. It is what it is. But clearly there is a problem there. By the way, Washington turned when they had a new owner.
Yeah.
That's a big thing, too. Now, I'm not saying sell the team like we
could. Oh, I'd love to.
I know, but...
He's awful.
All I'm saying is they keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's why I was begging to hire an experienced head coach. But Glenn, no, I really believe Glenn at least has the right mentality. He's a guy that's worked his ass off.
Yep.
He was a player in this league that had success, a good player, worked his way up as a good, very good, if not great assistant coach. He wanted this opportunity, and I don't even think he knew the overhaul and the undertaking that is at hand here. And already 5 weeks in, and it was like this 2 weeks in, it was like, this team's awful, he sucks, and now everybody's doubting him. It's hard to maintain that confidence when you're not having the results in at least some way to back that up.
I'm pretty confident saying it's not him, it's them. They're idiots.
Right, but then...
they don't know how to run a team. Woody is lost. The Jets' upper management and upper structure is pathetic, and it always has been. I mean, anytime they stumble upon success, it's basically because they stumbled upon success, not because the infrastructure was right. They're the worst, most pathetic franchise in sports. Period. That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Go hire Pete Carroll and keep Aaron Rodgers, because I just wanted to eliminate the question marks and have a veteran quarterback here, a veteran head coach, and maybe try to fumigate that way, make the most of this roster here with an experienced head coach. They clearly went in a different direction, and you've seen what's gone on here, but what about what's gone on there? The Raiders have been awful this season, getting their doors blown off yesterday by the Colts. Geno Smith has been god-awful. It just shows you, like, now, it doesn't mean that would have happened here either, but it shows you there is no exact way to do this. You could hire a rookie head coach and be great, rookie head coach be a disaster, or a veteran coach and be great, and a veteran coach and be a disaster.
Minus 56-point differential. They've been largely non-competitive. I'm very surprised. Not that I thought the Raiders would be amazing, but, I mean, they're basically getting whacked every weekend. There's some interesting stories. Like, you've seen growth from Chicago. You've seen a little growth recently from the Panthers. Miami's situation's a mess. The NFC West is crowded, but I take away the Pats. I know I mentioned them before. So think about what happened last night. Drake May, who really, really is talented. Some of the throws he makes on the run. He's obviously a very good athlete. So they win a game, big stage, Sunday Night Football. And now you look at the Pats, who are 3-2. You know their next three games? At the Saints, at the Titans, and then the Browns.
They can win all three.
I mean, but even if they stumble, then they might, because they're still a little young.
2-1.
Yeah, if they're 2-1, you're talking about a team that's suddenly 5-3. They got to play the Jets twice. Let's throw a dart and take a guess how that one's going to go. You know, that's two more wins for them. Is this team going to wind up winning 10, 11 games?
I think that that's a bit ambitious. 10? I mean, I don't know.
They already got three.
I know. And everybody just seems to think Drake May is the next coming now. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But again, it's not just luck. Good organizations find a way to do this.
That's
they
the
had
key.
A great organization, Belichick, all those years, and then they realized the right time to cut bait with Belichick, who, by the way, he's getting his ass kicked in college.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's...
It's embarrassing.
Exactly. It might be time for... And I, you know me, I love
Belichick.
This girl
won't let him quit.
Well, it might be time for him to quit her first.
Oh, there you go.
Well, one or the other. This is not working for
she
Bill.
She brought some bad luck to him.
But think about it. So he's been... He was a, you know, I don't want to say disaster, but it clearly ran its course with New England.
Yep.
They move on. They go to Mayo.
Mayo
and
for
they
1 year.
They realize right away he ain't it.
Yeah.
They draft their quarterback, obviously, before that. They bring in the head coach that they wanted, Vrabel, and now they're set with the head coach-quarterback combination that you would feel is pretty strong moving forward.
Yeah, very strong. The thing about Vrabel that I always liked about when he was with Tennessee, which is why he was my number one for the Jets, and listen, he was playing the Jets, and obviously I was intrigued by Aaron. I wanted Aaron Glenn to get the job once Vrabel wound up going to the Pats here, but he won a lot of games in Tennessee without a whole lot. You know, there's just something about
Tannehill.
Him. You know what? You know,
Tannehill.
Right. Obviously, Derrick Henry was in his absolute prime at that point, but no real stud receivers, no real, you know, superstar shutdown corners or, you know, sack artists who had, you know, 15, 16, like game wreckers. They were just a buttoned up, possess the ball, run it, get staying manageable down in distance and play with integrity and bring the same focus and keep the penalties down. And that's a great recipe. And here we are with the Jets and the Giants. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, and I'm just looking over some of the things because I still believe in a veteran head coach, especially in this market. You could pick teams, though, on each side of it, whether it's Steichen in Indianapolis, some of these younger guys, hot the offensive coordinators that get the job and they have success. But look at what Sean Payton's done with Denver. I mean, they've been incredible. Look at what Jim Harbaugh's done with the Chargers. I know they've lost a couple in a row here, but still, just building that program up to where it needs to be. And then you might have somebody like John Harbaugh available. The Ravens have been a disaster this year. Even when a healthy Lamar was there, maybe he becomes available next year. And that would change my tune a little bit with Dable, where if you have an answer like John Harbaugh out there, I think you got to go make a move to get him. In New York, we are dying for an experienced, no doubt about it, head coach. He would certainly fit that bill.
I love John. He's not Jim. I don't want to say he's overrated. He's not. But, man, and there was rumblings that he was going to step away. Like, I think we've had this John Harbaugh could leave the Ravens dance for a couple of years. Obviously a massive upgrade over Dable, but he's not Jim.
BT and Sal on the Fan. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.